I greet you this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that all is well with you. I thank the Lord for allowing me to be here today, and I thank the Lord for allowing you to be here. Whatever day it is, whether it is the day and date of the first offering of this worship service or some other date and time, I am thankful to the Lord. I am Pastor Clarence William Page of the Trinity Baptist Church, Greensboro, High Point, Guilford County, North Carolina, and the world, and wherever man is found, meaning that the ministry originates here, but it is directed to the world and wherever man is found, and to all places in between. I call your attention to the New Testament book of St. John. The New Testament book of St. John, and specifically to chapter 13. St. John, chapter 13. And in St. John chapter 13, the reading begins at verse 1. St. John chapter 13, beginning reading at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Jesus, John chapter 13, verse 29 now. For some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was going out, Jesus said, read it once again, John chapter 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was going out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. Reading once again, John chapter 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 34 now. Verse 34 of John chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 38. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 38. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, let us return in the Holy Bible to the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John. The 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and with specificity, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, which read as follows. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. For a short period of time, my friends, let's worship together using the title, Love in the Fourth Dimension. Love in the Fourth Dimension. The Holy Bible is full of words and commands and scenarios that use the word love. And those who have studied the Bible often talk about three types of love: the love of God, the love of friends, and the love that is the type that we find in marriage. The love of husband for wife and wife for husband. The love that includes human intimacy in marriage. And those are, from my understanding, the three types of love. And you know them as agape, you know them as phileo, and you also know them as eros in our English language. But I propose that there is a love that we say we have that's in the fourth dimension. And I would contend that it is not agape, that it is not phileo, that it is not eros. It may have some dimension of eros, but it is not eros. The love in the fourth dimension that I propose is not love in any of the ways of those three loves. For there is genuineness in those three loves. But I would contend that love in the fourth dimension is transactional. And what I mean, it is the love of doing business for profit. And I'm afraid that in some churches and some denominations, we have left the first three loves, and we have created for ourselves love in the fourth dimension. And here's what I mean. My definition would be love in the fourth dimension. Love in the fourth dimension is love for what we can get out of it. That's love in the fourth dimension, which is outside of the love that we find so prevalent in the Bible. And I would contend that oftentimes I've heard sermons that did not seem to be squarely in either of the first three dimensions, whether agape, whether phileo, or whether eros, but love in the fourth dimension. And I would define love in the fourth dimension as being transactional, doing business for profit, doing business for profit. And not so much in terms of wanting to give, but to get. When we preach what has been called prosperity gospel, it is so easy for that to be transactional, love in the fourth dimension, meaning that we tell people all the things that God will do for them. But we fail to tell people what God requires of them. That's love in the fourth dimension, which is not really love at all, but it's doing business. It's transactional. I say I love God, one would say, because in one's mind and heart and spirit, one is seeking the benefits of God, but have no real intention of truly obeying God according to the Word of God. If you are seeking the benefits of God, but have no intention of living holy, of living according to the will of God and Word of God, if you have no intention of truly obeying the Word of God, isn't that transactional? You are in it for what you can get out of it. And oftentimes we woo people with transactional love, telling them, oh, God will do this for you. And people shout, oh, God will do that for you. But what does God require? Well, let's look at St. John chapter 13. St. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. St. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. What does God require? Here Jesus is very precise. He is very succinct. He is very explicit. He says to his disciples in St. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And so, number one, this is a genuine love. This is not transactional. This is not saying to your brother or to someone, well, you know, I love you, and just saying that because you want something from them. That is not Christian love. That is not the kind of love that you are supposed to have. And you know, I have watched as I've gone to various churches and various denominations that people will smile in church sometimes and pretend that because you identify as a Christian, they love you. But you can tell right away that they don't. If you just watch them, if you just take time to see what they do as time goes on. And so, not behind every smile is a friend. Not behind every smile is a Christian. Not behind every smile is a true brother or true sister. Not behind every smile is a genuine heart. Not behind every smile is true love. People follow Jesus sometimes for transactional purposes. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 26, it reads this way. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Verse 27 says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." It appears to me that this is a kind of transactional false affection. They followed him for what they could get. It was transactional. Listen here in verse 22 and following. In John chapter 6, if you would turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning reading at verse 22. "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were going away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." John chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. I would call that transactional love. Oh, God, he had worked a miracle and fed them. They had benefited, and they wanted more transactions like that. Oh, they came seeking a transaction, not because they loved him, not because of the miracle, but because they were transactional, what I would call love in the fourth dimension. And I would define it as fake love, love that's not genuine, love that's not true, but love that's there for the benefit of the seeker. The seeker is looking for something. The seeker wants something. And I would define love in the fourth dimension as this kind of love, and that we see here. They got on ships and came to him and spoke to him. When did you come hither? As if they were interested. He didn't even answer that question. He knew it wasn't genuine and sincere affection or love for him. And he immediately said, in verse 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Listen to it once again. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. Are you laboring for the meat that perishes? Because the preacher said, if you come to church and sing in the choir, if you do this, if you usher, if you teach Sunday school, if you become a trustee, the Lord is going to give you this. He's going to bless you. He's going to give you money. He's going to give you the roof over your head that you need. He's going to make sure you have a job. Is your service to God transactional? Is your service to God actually love in the fourth dimension, which is not true love at all? Are you doing it for what you can get? Are you not obeying his commandments? Jesus said very specifically, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If you are doing all kinds of work for the church and all kinds of work that you say you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are not keeping his commandments, is that true love to the Lord? Is that agape love? Is it phileo love? Or is it love in the fourth dimension, which is fake love? If you're doing this work in the church and you're fornicating, you're not keeping his commandment. If you're doing work in the church and you are in adultery, you're not keeping his commandment. Is your love fake love? Love in the fourth dimension? Something that you call love, but you're doing it to get what you can get, but you're not willing to give true obedience and true service in holiness. God is holy. He wants me to be holy. He wants you to be holy. Are you fornicating, adulterating? Are you homosexuating and calling that service to God? I would identify that as being not in, I would identify that as being not in accordance to keeping the commandment of the Lord. The Bible very clearly points out many sins. If you are sinning and sinning and sinning and saying and saying and saying that you love the Lord, is not that fake and false love? Is not that transactional love? Aren't you saying that because you hope the Lord will give you what you want, because you are testifying from him? Is your testimony based in fakeness and falseness? Is your testimony fourth dimensional testimony, insincere, not genuine, transactional, for what you can get? And I'm afraid too many ministers preach sermons that are transactional in nature, meaning that they tell the people the things that God can do for them, but fail to tell the people what God requires them to do. So, preacher, are your sermons transactional? Do you tell the people that God requires them to be holy? Do you tell the people that God says, be ye holy, for I am holy? God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Are you telling your congregation that? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Father, Christian father, you say you're a Christian father. Are you telling your family that God says we must be holy because he's holy? Deacons, are you telling the people in the church that you're ministering to, that you're visiting, that you're serving? Do you, when I say serving, you're taking them communion when they're ill? You're responding to their problems, their situations? Are you telling them that God says be holy? Or are they using you? Are they transactional? They call you when they have problems. They're transactional. They want something from you, but they don't want to live holy. And we must be careful to not rubber stamp the sins that our people do. It is easy for a preacher to rubber stamp what a church member is doing by just not addressing it. If you rubber stamp sin, you don't love that person. If you are approving their love in the fourth dimension, which is not true love for the Lord, but you are saying, well, the Lord understands and he wants you happy. That's what happens. And some of you, your children come home and they're doing sin, whether it's abortion or homosexuality or fornication or adultery or thieving or whatever, or cheating or whatever. And you, because you say you love them, you approve it. It's not that love that's not truly true love. It's not that even love in the fourth dimension. Aren't you being transactional with your children because you want to get along with them? And therefore, if you don't say anything about the sin they're doing, you feel that you won't have any argument with them. That's transactional. And we do it with neighbors. We do it in the church. When the pastor fails to tell a member that he or she is in sin, is that not transactional? Is that not love in the fourth dimension? Is the pastor not doing it because he wants to get along with that person? He wants to get along with that person? That's doing business, isn't that? Isn't that doing business? If I don't say anything about their sin, they'll keep on paying money. They'll keep on coming to church. Isn't that transactional? They won't leave the church and go somewhere else. They won't leave my congregation and go to one where they don't criticize them. Isn't it transactional when we fail to preach about holiness? When we fail to mention the sins that our members are doing that God says he doesn't want them to do, but we won't preach about it because we're afraid that we'll lose the transactional value. Aren't we transactional as preachers sometimes? I'm talking about love in the fourth dimension, which is truly not love. It is not true love. It is not true love. It is transactional. We are doing business. And that's why if you preach a prosperity gospel, Reverend, I would encourage you to go back and listen to some of your sermons and just count the time that you told people that God requires them to be holy. Count the times that you talk to them about fornication, about adultery, about abortion, about homosexuality, about stealing, about cheating. Talk to them about that. Look at your sermons and see how many times you've mentioned God requires holiness. I would even say, and I may be venturing out, but it bothers me when people seem to rubber stamp playing the lottery. That's gambling. I don't play the lottery. But I'm afraid that there are those who are ministers who not only play themselves, but who encourage or rubber stamp others doing it. Now, you may not agree with me, But if it isn't holy, if it's gambling, there are many other things. Now we cover things by saying, well, Jesus Christ has died and I'm free. I'm free to do what I want to do. So my question would be, are you free to do that which is not holy? Does Jesus want you to live a life that is not holy? I don't believe so. And if you love him and love the brethren, you won't do that. You won't be transactional, but you would make sure that your love is genuine. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength. You will love the Lord your God with all you have. And when you love the Lord your God with all you have, and then love your brother and your neighbor as yourself, that's genuine. And you will serve him and obey him. But we can quote those scriptures all day long, but refuse to allow the Spirit of God to come into us and save us and cause us to have a zeal for holiness. More than likely, we're in danger of exhibiting love in the fourth dimension. I have a zeal for God that is according to righteousness and holiness. A zeal for God according to his word. I want to obey his word. And the Holy Spirit leads me to want to obey his word. But there are those who say, I have the liberty to do what I want to do because Jesus has died for my sins and I can do what I want to do. My friend, you may very well be operating in the realm of transactional love. And I just coined that term because it's fake, false, untrue love. It is neither agape, neither phileo, nor eros. It's untrue love. It's fake love. It's false love. If you're in it for what you can get out of it down here, if you're in church for what you can get out of it down here, and you're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. You're not saved. Is that not transactional? Aren't you in it for benefit, for business benefit, to get what you can get down here? Jesus requires true love. He loves you truly. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. And yet, many of you refuse to live holy for him. He died on the cross for me. And how ungracious, how unthankful it would be if I did not have enough love for him to live holy. If my love for him was fake, transactional, just in it for what I can get out of it. Just in it for what I can get out of it. Love in the fourth dimension. Fake, false love. Not love at all, just using the word love. But not truly love. Just transactional business. For my profit, love in the fourth dimension, my activity pretending to be love, my activity operating as love, my activity saying that it's love, but only false, fake, transactional. In it for what I can get out of it. Isn't that transactional? Do you go to church because you want to hear what the Lord can do for you? But what are you doing for him? Well, I gave someone this and I gave someone a ride. Fine, but are you living holy? Are you loving the brethren? Jesus said here in John chapter 13, in John chapter 13, here's what Jesus says. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This is a commandment. And this is not transactional love. Because people, when your love for the brother is not genuine, people will see that. People will see you shaking hands and smiling and even giving your brother a hug, knowing that you hate him. Knowing that it's not true. Knowing that it's not true. I love Christians. I love the brethren. This includes the sisters too. I love the brethren. I love the sisters. I love Christians. The Holy Spirit in me bears witness. Bears witness that that person is my brother. That person is my sister. I am commanded. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what country they're from. It doesn't matter what language they speak. And I've had so many experiences with people from various places. Brothers in Christ. Sisters in Christ. Where the Spirit in me bears witness with the Spirit in them. That they're my brother. Not only do I love my brothers, I love everybody. But I have a command to love. And the command is not to be transactional because, well, he has a big job. He says he's a Christian, so I'm going to say I'm a Christian too. Let them know I'm a Christian too and try to get him to hire me. You don't love him. You're being transactional. You don't love her. You're being transactional. I'm going to keep saying hallelujah and praise the Lord because, you see, in your heart you may be saying, I want him or her to believe I'm a Christian. So I'm going to say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I want to have favor with him or her. That's not true love. That's transactional. That's fake, false love. And what I would term love in the fourth dimension. Love in the fake dimension. The fake dimension of love. Love in the fourth dimension. Doing it for what is in it for you down here. And if you're doing that, you're missing the whole point because we are in Christ not for what we get down here. We're in Christ because we love him and he gives us eternal life. You may not even have eternal life if your pretend love, if your love is pretense, transactional in the fourth dimension, you might not be saved, which means that when you die, you will go to hell. Are you saved? If your love, quote unquote, is fourth dimensional love, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? So is the work you are doing merely transactional for what you can get down here? And even when you die, you're going to go to hell because you're not saved? Oh, you are harming yourself. Prosperity gospel can harm people. The prosperity gospel can harm people. Yes, God will give us all kinds of good things. But if a person is not saved, what shall it profit a man? To gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're not saved, my friends, if you're in it, for transactional reasons. If you're in it for just what you can get down here. If you're in it because your pastor has mesmerized you with prosperity gospel and you've never been truly saved, now's your opportunity. Get saved. Make up your mind while you still have time. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Examine yourself and see if you are truly in the faith. If you are doing all kinds of sins, you may have a type of love that I would characterize as transactional. You're going to church, you're working in the church, you're preaching, you're doing many different things, but you're not saved. You're in it for what you can get out of it down here. Transactional. You're transacting business. You're trying to transact business with the Holy One by saying, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and then going out and living a sinful life, coming to church and using church language. Amen, hallelujah. Going out into the world and cursing, fornicating, adulterating, living together, not being married, doing homosexual acts, doing abortion, killing, stealing, abortitating, adulterating, covetousness. So I'm not here to criticize you. I'm here to get you saved. Repent of your sins. Pray to God. If you're not sure, say, Lord, if I'm transactional only, if my love for you is not true, if I'm in it for what I can get out of it, if I'm in it just to do business with you down here, Father God, I'm sorry. I hadn't thought about it, but Pastor Page has brought it to my attention. And Father God, in Jesus' name, search me and know me. And see if my love that I express toward thee is fake love. Is it the kind of love that Pastor Page says he identifies as transactional love, as love in the fourth dimension, untrue love? Lord, if I'm in that dimension, meaning that I'm lost and not saved, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make my love true and pure. If I'm like those who ate up the loaves and then sought Jesus, and Jesus told them that they were seeking him because they ate what he gave them. So, Lord, if I'm like them, if I'm like them, if I'm seeking you because you bless me materially, because you have given me some food and clothes and money and a car, but I'm not true to thee in my heart, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And my friend, you keep praying until you get certainty in your heart that your love for the Lord is not merely transactional, but you truly want to live holy. You want to obey the commandments that are in the New Testament. Read the New Testament and purpose to obey them. The Lord will honor. The Lord will honor your sincere intention, your sincere desire, your sincere repentance, your sincere seeking of him. And you will be saved. And once you are saved, get baptized. Reverend, I've been baptized one time. Should I get baptized again? My friend, you have to deal with the Holy Spirit about that. I'm not going to try to venture there, but follow the Holy Spirit. We must leave the realm of transactional love, the false love, the prosperity gospel love. We must come to Jesus. We must obey the commandments of the Lord. We must love the Lord with all our hearts, our mind, our strength. And love our neighbor as ourselves. Otherwise, it is very, very, very likely that our love is transactional. Our church work is transactional. Our witness is transactional, meaning that we are doing it for what we can get out of it down here. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, in Jesus' name, save those who are now questioning their position in Thee, those who are afraid that their love toward Thee is transactional, those who have drunk down the prosperity gospel, but never truly sought to live the holy life. Father God, help them. Help them, help him, help her to decide today that he or she will obey Thee. Help them, give them the capacity to love Thee with their whole heart, mind, spirit, soul, with all their strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. To love the brethren. Oh Lord, help them to move from the realm of transactional love to the realm of genuine love. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. My friend, if you have become saved during this service, be sure to contact a Christian minister and a ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. The Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.